Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, February 15th, 2012. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Mayor Nancy Cheney gives the State of the City address for Moscow. Bill would restore teachers' pay in Idaho. The Environmental Protection Agency says they'll greatly cut Silver Valley cleanup. And filmmaker comes to KRFP to talk about his new film about hippies in eastern Washington, showing downtown at the Kenworthy tonight. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report, but first, world headlines from Feature Story News, Free Speech Radio News, and the International News Net. And live in the studios of KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Republican State Senator Dean Cameron of Rupert has introduced a bill that would reverse a shift of teachers' pay to a fund to pay for technology upgrades at schools and merit pay bonuses. If passed, the change would go into effect during the next fiscal year, but would leave the $14.7 million shifted by last year's education overhaul in place. Under Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna's education overhaul, $19.4 million in teacher salary funding would be shifted to the education reforms in 2013. Cameron told Joint Finance Appropriations Committee members he's not asking for changes to Luna's overhaul, but wants the legislature to find sources to pay for them other than taking the money from teachers' salaries. Luna said today, "If there is support for this bill, this is good news because it means that our reform efforts can move forward with full funding and support this year and in future years." Voters passed school levies in a dozen eastern Washington school districts that were on the ballot yesterday. The two-year $4.9 million replacement maintenance levy in the Pullman School District got 79.5% of the mail-in votes so far as of last night. There were 3,047 yes votes. Pullman School Superintendent Paul Sturm told the Lewiston Tribune the results were very encouraging, and he thanked the community for the outpouring of support. Voters in the Oaksdale School District passed their two-year replacement and operations levy with 60% yes votes. The Moscow Chamber of Commerce hosted Mayor Nancy Cheney's annual State of the City address today. Cheney spoke with optimism and described the many successes in city budgeting, strategic planning, and civic engagement. Cheney said, compared to many cities in the country, Moscow's economy is faring well. Most residents were solidly within the 99%. Per capita annual income in Moscow was $21,636 in 2011, slightly higher than the state average. And the mean average household income was $35,389 compared to $43,656 for the state and $50,227 for the nation.
Unlike some of our counterparts around the country, Moscow's municipal budget is sound, transparent, and balanced. Like you, the city pays attention to its budget and takes the responsibility of managing it seriously. We earned favorable A-plus and AA-minus bond ratings by maintaining internal controls, monitoring budgets, keeping records, following accepted accounting principles, and complying with all standards and laws. Moscow's finance department received its eighth award from the Government Finance Officers Association for Excellence in Financial Reporting for fiscal year 2010. Recent accomplishments of that department include saving citizens more than $1 million by refinancing the 1998 general obligation bonds and 2002 sewer revenue bonds, improving customer service with an online payment system for utility bills and parking fines, streamlining processes by supporting the water department's meter inventory and zero read program, improving solid waste pickup and billing efficiency with sanitation route management software, taking an active role in water, sewer, and sanitation rate studies for equitable and sustainable programs. The efforts are supported by the city's Information Systems Department that has enhanced efficiency and saved resources with paperless document and electronic files.
That was Moscow Mayor Nancy Cheney. Cheney said evidence of the stability of the local economy comes in the form of a low rate of bankruptcies and foreclosures. She said the real estate market is stable but not robust. Cheney said during the past year, Moscow has actually experienced an increase in new businesses opening.
Walmart reopened on site with a larger, more energy efficient store. Helena Probasco is the new store manager and a newcomer to Moscow. So when you see her, please welcome Helena and her family to the Palouse. Book People is a longtime part of Moscow's heart and soul. That business is now under new ownership and is slated for a soft opening sometime next week in time for the Jazz Festival. Anytime Fitness is remodeling the old Sandpiper Mark IV on North Main for its new location. Blues Brews and Barbecue was just approved for its beer and wine license, as was Wanderer's Tavern. And Sangria's owners are getting ready to reopen a second restaurant, and I have it phonetically spelled here. It's Maialina, which means little pig in Italian, I'm told, and that's going to be at 6th and Main, opening this spring. Camas Prairie Winery is under new ownership, freeing up the previous owners, Sue and Stu Scott, to take the first real vacation they've had in something like, Sue, 1995? 38 years, all right. Bloom on Friendship Square always seems busy, and Nosh was packed the last time I was in there for dinner. My husband and I are looking forward to trying La Madrid Family Restaurant, recently opened at the East Side. A happening place jams frozen yogurt and the stylish new Inland Cellular Store are new neighbors on Pullman Road, and other commercial facilities are expected to be developed there soon nearby. The Farm Bureau building just sprouted up near the CareNet at the Palouse on West A. Biketronics, popping at its seams in the old digs, has moved into a larger facility previously housed by Now and Then Antiques on Palouse River Drive. Studio Wax and Hair Design and iSpa are here to keep us from looking and feeling like antiques. Viral Science, Inc. established itself where the old Ted Burgers used to be. Palouse Pediatrics now has a new office in the East Side. Wild at Art is in a new space next to One World Cafe downtown, and the Pie Hole has created a wonderful patio area for when warmer weather returns. And undoubtedly, I've missed some. There are certainly emerging businesses to add to this growing list, so I think we're doing okay. Some of our region's comparative stability is due to the nature of our local economy, anchored by education, healthcare, and government jobs. We didn't suffer the huge fallout of ill-advised borrowing or predatory lending experienced elsewhere around the state and the nation.
That was Moscow Mayor Nancy Cheney giving the State of the City address at the University Inn Best Western earlier today. Residents of the area agree that Moscow is a favorable place to live, raise a family, and retire.
At a time when bad news seems to lead the news, 95% of respondents to Moscow's 2010 citizen survey found the quality of life here good to excellent, the highest rating since we started doing the surveys in 2002, and significantly higher than the national average. In 2011, Bloomberg Businessweek rated Moscow the best city in the state to raise kids. The U.S. News and World Report deemed Moscow one of the best places to retire. We're due for another biannual citizen survey this fall, so keep an eye on your mailboxes for those.
Mayor Cheney noted last year in a study done by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, Latah County was ranked second in health outcomes among Idaho's 44 counties.
Latah County also ranked favorably in health factors such as smoking, diet, exercise, alcohol use, risky sexual behavior, education, employment, income, family and social support, community safety, access to care, and quality of care. Gritman Medical Center is the only hospital in the region to earn recognition by the National Rural Health Association as a top 100 critical access hospital for 2011. The Jeff and Becky Martin Community Wellness Center reported an impressive 17,696 client visits last year.
Mayor Cheney also applauded the Moscow Human Rights Commission, the Latah County Human Rights Task Force, and the newly formed Northwest Coalition for Human Rights, and stated, "These active groups are part of the reason the community has a low instance of violence and hate crimes."
Consistent with Moscow's welcoming nature, we have avoided violence and hate crimes associated with racial, religious, and ideological differences. A visiting scholar from North Africa recently told me that she was surprised to be made to feel so welcome here. Moscow Human Rights Commission, the Latah County Human Rights Task Force, student organizations, and the newly formed Northwest Coalition for Human Rights centered at the University of Idaho are parts of the reason. We can be proud that people here stand up for freedom, compassion, and civility. Still, we must not become complacent. Our community hasn't shut the door on seniors or people with disabilities. Programs like My Own Home, senior programs and friendly neighbors, Gritman Adult Day Health, Disability Action Center, the Volunteer Drivers Program, and the Mobility Task Force help make Moscow more inclusive, accessible, and worthy of the Best Place to Retire recognition that I mentioned earlier. Incidentally, Moscow's Mobility Task Force identified 41 high-priority locations for repair, plus 14 so-called hotspots that would make significant differences for comparatively modest effort if addressed. And that map is really teeny, but if you have good eyes, and Jen, I can't see that from here, at least not without my glasses, but there are little tiny red dots on there. I could put this on there, but I can't see the red dots to tell you where they are. But they have the bicycle, pedestrian, wheelchair accessible areas, the snow routes. We reliably remove snow from those main non-motorized routes for users of all abilities and all modes of transportation. We have places, as you know, where the sidewalks are damaged and degraded or even missing. And so if we can highlight where those places are and invest a modest amount of time and effort, we can at least improve connectivity for people who otherwise would not have that.
And that was Moscow Mayor Nancy Cheney giving the State of the City address today. Citizen journalist Marie McHugh contributed this story. Environmental Protection Agency officials announced a big reduction in the size of the Silver Valley cleanup today. The price tag of the cleanup will be cut from $1.3 billion over 100 years to about $740 million over 30 years. EPA Regional Director Dan Opalski says the EPA will only clean up 197 mine sites in the Silver Valley instead of 342 sites in the original plan. The Silver Valley Superfund site is the largest Superfund site in the country. Opalski said, "We had a lot of input from local people concerned about the large scope and cost and time frame." Mike Peterson of the Spokane-based Lands Council disagreed with the changes. He told the Associated Press, "It's unfortunate that the EPA caved in to pressure from Idaho and sliced the cleanup nearly in half. The legacy of heavy metals contamination will continue, however, and Lake Coeur d'Alene and the Spokane River will have poorer water quality than under the original plan." The Moscow Food Co-op Good Film Series is showing Back to the Garden, a documentary produced in eastern Washington about hippies, where they were in 1988 and where they are recently in 2008 when the movie was made. Filmmaker Kevin Tomlinson will be on hand at the showing tonight, and he also visited the KRFP studios this afternoon to talk about the film and the hippie subculture.
Certainly, it is a culture that I think is going to last more than one generation. Look, we've all, in our own film, we've got hippie kids who are definitely carrying on the traditions and the belief systems of their parents. They may not live as radically as their parents do or dress the way their parents do, but they definitely have those core values. And in fact, this is a part of our film that a lot of people respond to, is the fact that we, you know, we show what's happened to this one community, but how did it affect, you know, one of the things I said was, you know, how do you rebel against the rebel generation? You know, how do these kids feel about being raised in this alternative lifestyle? Some kids went along with it just fine. Some emulate their parents. Others just went as far away from that as possible because it was, they felt it was kind of forced upon them.
Kevin Tomlinson's film Back to the Garden will be shown at 7 p.m. tonight at the Kenworthy at 508 South Main Street in Moscow, part of the Moscow Food Co-op Good Film Series. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Take you a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. Partly cloudy, low 26, and 20% chance of rain and snow after 10 a.m. tomorrow. Mostly cloudy, high 40. A 30% chance of snow showers Thursday night, mainly after 10 p.m., mostly cloudy, low 31, little or no snow accumulation expected. Increasing clouds Friday, high 43, 70% chance of rain Friday night, cloudy otherwise with a low of 32, and a 70% chance of snow showers on Saturday, cloudy, high 37. New snow accumulation less than half an inch possible. Right now, fair skies, 34 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up is Building Bridges, the weekly labor report from Pacifica Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine, also from Pacifica Radio, at 6:30. Music begins with World Waves with Catherine Bonzo tonight at 7:30, and music and entertainment throughout the evening here on Radio Free Moscow, KRFP Moscow. I'm Lee Robertus. Marie McHugh assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a good night.